day, Colin.
You know, for me, you're in the future.
Like a man on the moon or in a tin pan.
Welcome to the Eat Radio Podcast. And here's your host, Colin Pope from Eat Magazine.
Hi, and welcome back to the Eat Magazine podcast. Your host here, Cullen, coming to you from Coronet Peak. It was freezing cold this morning when I got up. I can't even tell you about the ice that was outside on the cars. And I'm so pleased I took the bus up this morning, up the mountain. And here we are, another amazing day. You know, strangely enough, the snow had come down overnight. Very much into the remarkables, and then it just lifted. I think it was about 9 o'clock. I took the bus up the hill, and I've had a bit of time here this morning. I went to find Nigel, and he'd gone for lunch. He'd gone down to Queenstown for lunch, which I thought was you can just go down and have lunch and come back. And so welcome back to the podcast, everybody. If you haven't been here before, please go back and listen to the first part of this New Zealand two-part ski series. And with that, we'll jump straight into it and back onto the mountain. Cheers. Hi, it's Cullen here from the Eat Magazine podcast, and I'm back here on Coronet Peak here again with Nigel Kerr. Nigel, look, it's late in the afternoon. I can see all these lights going on. Is this the night skiing? Or I mean, are they on top of the snowmakers? Is that
right? They're a mix of, yes, you're dead right. They're a mix of on the snow guns and also on the chair towers.
Okay.
And we spread out. We've got about 150 hectares of skiable train at night.
Wow.
And 460 metres vertical, which means, again, we can keep those fast laps going.
Okay.
And basically, because yesterday was the shortest day,
right,
and this Saturday of this weekend in June, we always do our first night ski.
Right.
So it's time to keep going till 9.
Okay, brilliant. And look, the snow is just fantastic. And this is a bit of an early start here, isn't it?
This is a... It's not an early start, but it's a boomer.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to open on the 16th of June, middle of June.
Yep.
We actually opened this year on the 2nd of June, which is pretty unheard of, in fairness.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. We didn't actually have any staff, so we had to scrape the barrel in town and from our sister scary across the way, Remarkables.
Yeah.
And it was, to be fair, Cullen, it was actually a bit of a struggle.
Right, okay.
We only opened for one day. We could only find enough staff to put together to make it happen, and we were woefully understaffed.
Yeah.
But the public was so happy that it didn't matter. We got away with it.
Yeah.
Nobody noticed.
Yeah.
But, you know, opening that early, and we've had some really good snow making, some really good natural snow.
Yeah.
This is a great start to the season.
Yeah, and for those people that don't sort of understand the process, I guess, or even just for my own education, my understanding is that you had a good dump early, and then when that happens, when you've got these fantastic snow machines, you can just keep topping up. Is that kind of how it works?
Sort of. I mean, basically, at Coronet Peak, we're not designed to top up.
Yeah.
We're designed to actually build the whole thing from zero.
Right.
So when we turn the guns on, we've got 225 guns.
Right.
We make about 25 tons. That's 50 cubic meters of snow a minute.
Wow.
And we can do that for basically 2 weeks straight. So when that early snow came in May, 17th, we thought, oh, well, we'll turn the guns on and we'll just do a test run.
Yep. Okay.
And then we shut them off about the 24th of May.
Yeah.
So they'd run on and off as we were tinkering with getting the system all tuned in, because every year it's a bit of process.
Yeah.
We'd made a lot of snow and we'd had a lot of snow, and then it kept snowing.
Okay.
And we all got very excited.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And so really, season's kicked off now. I mean, although I guess for a lot of people, they're sort of in the process of booking their ski holidays now, even as we speak. And really, for many people, it's kind of, it's more what would you say? It's more a July, August sort of a...
Totally. June is not a traditional destinational visitor.
Yeah.
A lot of our visitors at the moment are definitely our locals.
Yeah.
You know, we see a big high percentage of seasons passes.
Yeah.
Come the 1st of July, that's going to turn on its head.
Right. Okay.
And that's when the seasons pass holders will become the minority.
Yeah, right.
And the visitors to town will become the majority.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. And as we were saying, I guess this is a great place really for, I know that certainly for a lot of families that ski, you know, they've got friends that don't ski,
And it's always a bit of a quandary about, you know, do I ask them, do I not ask them, might be ask them. And then, but this is actually the perfect place for those kinds of people who want to bring their friends, who are people who are great skiers and who have friends that have never skied before. They can bring them here quite safely.
Yeah, the thing is, there's a really good mix of slopes. And the other thing is, there's quite a lot of breadth from the Green Gate 6, which is way out west, and then east out towards the T-bar. Yeah. You've got a big difference. And so, and the learner slopes in between. So, yes, you can have all the skiing you like as an expert. And the way I describe this ski field is, and I'm a pretty experienced skier, is what I like about Coronet Peak is I can go as fast as I like. Yeah. I can absolutely fang it. Yeah. And I don't know the mountain that well. Yeah. And it's a real roly-poly mountain. Yeah. So it's pretty hard to know. Yeah. And every now and then you'll find yourself flying off something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You won't die here.
Yeah,
you might hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But because it rolls yeah, rather than falls off cliffs, you'll just crash and burn.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. You know, and that's, so for an experienced skier or boarder, this is a real playground.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is for beginners as well, they're not going to be running into trees, and they're not going to be generally running into rocks, which happens to me every time I ski in Australia or anywhere else for that matter. So this is always a great place for me because it's easy for me to fall over here.
Well, Cullen, that is a bit of a sad admission, I must admit. But yes, you're right, and there is a lot of open space.
Yeah.
And you know, you look out there today, and you said to me, "Oh, it's quite quiet."
Yeah.
But actually, no, this is quite busy.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple of thousand people up here. Yeah. They're all having a good day.
Yeah.
But it's that spread.
Yeah, it's so much space, isn't it? Fantastic. I noticed a lot more, obviously there's a lot more boarders now. You can tell it's been a while since I've skied. But I noticed also a lot more helmets. That's sort of part of...
I think the culture of wearing helmets has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Certainly from our staff's point of view here now, if you are riding or skiing as part of your job, you wear a helmet.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, because I know there's a lot of people out there who'll say, no, look, I don't need a helmet.
Sure.
And I agree it muffles a bit of sound some of the time, so you don't hear things coming behind you.
Okay.
But I never have anybody catch me, so that's not a problem. That's the other way of looking at it. But last year we had about 6 or 7 injuries to staff in the workplace that were all caused by them hitting their head. They all were wearing helmets.
Yeah.
They all suffered concussion of some case.
Right.
Now think what that might have been like if they hadn't had a helmet on.
Yeah.
And I think of that quite a bit and I go, hold on, wear your helmet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, as I got more confident today, I was like, I need to go and get a helmet now.
Yeah, you're probably going to hurt either yourself or someone else. Get a helmet. Yeah.
that's good. And I suppose the other thing is you get a lot of sun up here as well. A lot of people might not sort of expect that. And so I guess the whole, obviously you need sunglasses here. There are certain, some places you can ski in the world without those, but you need sunglasses and goggles here because you get these stunning days, can't you?
You need both, actually. Goggles, it's goggles you need at night here, or goggles are the best, but during the day, you're right, sunglasses, particularly good gradient sunglasses, that'll, because we're always riding the lifts towards the sun.
Yeah, of course.
And you get, you know, sunscreen as well.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget that, because otherwise you'll get a red nose, and it's not from having too much to drink.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that happens later on in town as well.
Yes, frequently.
And I know you've got another run as well for advanced skiers. Is that why you've got a new? Pulling these new runs in.
It's kind of taking a bit of the hill and saying, no, you're now going to be a run.
Right.
But more for us to say it's going to be a run, we need to put snowmaking in to support that.
Okay.
So we've got a run called Ego Alley, which used to be down under the old Triple Chair, which was way out west.
Yeah.
It got replaced by the Six Express. But what we did was we put 6 extra snow guns down that line.
Okay.
And it's a great one because just as you're roaring along down Green Gates and your legs are starting to get a bit tired, you go over this roll and it goes from probably a 30%, 40% to like a 60%. And your legs are really working hard.
Right.
Just when they're looking for a rest.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
And either it will damage your ego or it will lift it.
Okay. So I'll be looking for those egos out in town tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And look, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is that I know that for a lot of people they're able to, I'm not sure what it's called, it's... something on YouTube. It's like, check out our new runs or check out our new... I'll put the YouTube link in when I find it. It's at the bottom of your email signature.
Oh, well-groomed. You're talking about Cullen. That's yes, right. Well-groomed.
Yeah.
So that was our marketing coordinator's brainchild or brain explosion, depending on how you look at it, that is they produce weekly, this year fortnightly, because they realised all they did last year was make film.
Okay. You know,
great for their egos.
Of course, yeah.
We actually had a few other things on their list of things to do. But they just basically look around Queenstown. You know, it's very much designed, to be fair, the target market is people who like skiing and boarding and who are probably, it's kind of preaching to the converted.
Sure.
But I think like any good restaurant or any good business, your loyal customers are your most important customers.
Yeah.
And so... it's preaching to those customers. And this year we've got a guy, Henry Youngman, who is very well known and very very talkative and very, not, I won't say good looking, although I think he would argue with me. We dance together in another place for an annual show, community show. But he's a great guy. He's got a really good sense of humour, and I think the whole show's going to lift again.
Oh, fantastic, yeah. And I thought it was great. I know that target audience is for those sort of in the know in a way, but I kind of felt like it just looked so much fun, you know, even for people who were just on YouTube going, hey, this looks like it's kind of a little party on wheels in a way, if I can say that.
Yeah, I think or party on snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you can say that quite safely.
Yeah.
And it is... and it comes back to that skiing and boarding, it's not, again, it's not a sport, it's a social activity.
Yeah.
We're all here to be with other people,
meet
people, play with people, whatever you want to call it.
And
have good times.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, I guess the Winter Festival, the Real Journeys Winter Festival really sort of captures that. That's a great introduction for people that want to come in just for this event, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Winter Festival has always been about telling the world that winter has arrived, you know, and giving that big media blast when we're not, a lot of people aren't always sure, am I going to go skiing? Will I go skiing? What's it like? Or I've booked a holiday and I want some confirmation that I've made the right choice. All of that is what Winter Festival is about doing.
Yeah, fantastic. And look, for those people that are thinking about booking in August, can the season overshoot into September?
Oh, definitely. Or? No, it always overshoots into September, to the end of September.
Okay, great.
But for those who are looking for really winter snow conditions, great powder, we normally aim at August.
Yep.
But last year, the best day skiing of the year was on the 10th of September.
Yeah, right.
So that's when the season kind of peaked. And we close as we turn into October. We will always be here right through September.
Yeah.
So, and the thing, if you're bringing kids skiing, is that's a warm time of year.
Yeah.
You know, you take a little kid out here, that cold air hits, first issue, toilet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So you've just made it to the slopes.
Yeah.
No, we'll go back to the toilet. So, look, Colin, there's some better ways of doing this.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it a struggle.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, we're here. The way I look at it, we up here at Coronet Peak, we have 108 days of fun.
Yeah.
Now, 8 days have gone.
Yeah.
So if you're not here, you've only got 100 more days of fun in front of you.
Okay.
If you weren't here today...
Yeah.
We're counting down.
Yeah, fantastic. That's great. And it's incredible, isn't it? It's sort of around this time of the shortest day of the year, really, as we are heading to the other side of all this. It's kind of crazy how it works.
Oh, we get there so quickly.
Yeah,
but this is the shortest day in New Zealand for me, from my experience, is really when winter starts.
Yeah.
You know, within a day or two of now, we're underway and it's great.
Yeah, fantastic. And look, just as we wrap up, for anyone that wants to get... I'll put the YouTube link in here as well so they can find that. Where else can they go online to get more information on Coronet Peak and the season here?
Probably the website's www.nzski.com or www.coronetpeak.co.nz. But have a look, see what you like, but... You know, it's the thing about it is Queenstown's your destination. Coronet Peak's on the doorstep of the destination. Yeah. come on up, ski, board, or do nothing. Do sightseeing, do sledding, have a coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just so easy to get here and have a, and it's just part of being in Queenstown.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, look, thank you very much. I know you came off the mountain, you walked in here covered in snow. It looks like you've warmed up since I've been here. Lights are on for night skiing, so who knows? Maybe I'll hang around for a bit of that. And I just want to say thanks for taking the time, and we look forward to catching you at some later stage.
No problems, Cullen. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Nigel. Cheers.
So there we have it. Very generous of Nigel to give us his time. I'm going to take a couple more runs, getting a bit tired. Now, I must admit, I've fallen over a few times. And I'm sure people wondered whether or not the circus was in town. It's certainly what I looked like. But anyway, I had a lot of fun. Great. And meeting some friends here for a drink before I go back down the hill. And then out into the Queenstown nightlife, which is always very interesting. And so, look, just those top tips. If you haven't listened to part one of this podcast, we've put a great infographic together. And if you search on Google for Eat Magazine, EATT Magazine, we'll come up. You'll find some of our images, and you'll find our infographic as well, hopefully, which gives you top of these 10 tips, just really telling you about, I guess Coronet Peak, where it is. When are the school holidays coming up? 2019-2020, vital things to know, I think, if you don't want to be on the mountain there. But look, I'm sure a lot of people come at that time, and they have fun. But nice to be there when it's not absolutely packed, of course. But good on any day, as far as I'm concerned. And just look, a couple of other things. Obviously, the season runs June through to really sort of early October. It could be late December. Night skiing, as you know, Wednesday, Friday and Saturday nights, a fantastic ski terrain out of those, the Big Easy and some of those other runs Nigel was talking about. The field opened in 1947, so you can imagine with a single rope tow, and now it's just absolutely incredible. It's one of New Zealand's most popular ski resorts. I don't know why I'm speaking so quickly. Maybe I'm just cold. I want to get to the bar, but I've got a couple of runs to go before the sun moves around. And so we'll put some videos in this post as well. So please, by all means, just wanted to say thank you from wherever you are in the world. I notice we've got some listeners now in New Zealand. Great to see. And also our listeners out of Singapore, Portugal, Switzerland, Sweden, Netherlands, Malaysia, Germany, Hong Kong, Canada, Italy, and other parts of the world, India. And great to have you all here with you. And I'll catch you next time, and we'll end up somewhere very different. Cheers. If you're a listener in the US, you can simply text the word EATMAG, which is EATTMAG. And if you want that in Echo, art, technology, travel, M for Maggie, A for Apple, G for Grapple, it's EATMAG. And you can text that if you're in the US now to 1-480-418-1411. If you're in Australia, you simply text the word EATMAG to 61-428-479-700. If you're in the United Kingdom, in the UK, Scotland, England, Wales, you can text Ireland as well. You can text EATMAG to 44-7903-567718. And if you're in Canada, you can simply text EATMAG to 1587-800-4323. And you can just replay those numbers. I know it sounds like there's a lot of numbers in there, but wherever you are, you can just text EATMAG from those four countries if you're in there, and we'll send you some instructions, and you can basically subscribe to our updates that way. So really pleased to finally get that off the ground, and thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.